Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot.
Hold up.
Cold enough for ya?
Oh, shut up, fat ass.
No place to go, darling. We gather on this Friday at 6:12 in the morning because we work here. Nobody wants to be up at this hour. We're here because this is the job, and the job is to entertain and inform and to survive winter. All packed into 1 week. Today, more traditional snowy. And by the way, 7, 8, 9, 10 degrees. Feels like Florida compared to the last couple of days.
That's why I'm wearing this half shirt.
Was anybody cold when they went outside?
Yeah.
I wasn't cold.
No, my door did not stick.
I didn't go outside.
How'd you get here?
Transport.
Well, I mean, I drove outside.
The pedway.
Well, that's
what I'm
talking about.
I went garage to garage.
Well, okay. Big shot. We'll get to the top six and six in a second. Preview of the Super Bowl, of course, this morning. We'll break it down completely. We'll go over the film. And Toni Preckwinkle is going to be in studio later. She's arguably your front runner for mayor. Is Jared Payton on today?
He is. 7:40.
Okay. This is the weekend where the Walter Payton Awards being handed out. You got some inside information on that, Dave? Who's going to win?
I do not. I know Trey Burton of the Bears is a finalist for that award.
If you did know, would you tell me?
Worthy one? No, probably not. So. Well, no, but I wouldn't do that to Jared because put him in an
awkward... Steal his thunder?
Yeah.
Please. All right, let's get to it. Top six and six right now.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
Your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
The slop continues, and Mary Vandeveld, you got some splaining to do. Where are the plows this morning? I only saw one coming in, and the roads are snow-covered, and the weather's fine.
I know. I saw a couple. They were just sitting there, but they're waiting till everything's done, I
guess. We have a theory here in city. We all agree on. They're tired.
Yeah.
It's been up for 3 days.
I wonder how much overtime, and then we're going to have the conversation about salt reserves.
Yeah, how much salt is left.
Now, I saw plows this morning in the city, and there was even a plow that came down my alley this morning before I left for work, which is a rarity. So
you should take credit as condo board president. You should take credit for that. You should send an email to all the people.
I thought maybe he pulled in a Steve Grzanich celebrity favor and said, what about my alley?
Yeah. He should have said, hey, everybody, I know a couple people in the city, and I got our alley plowed.
That's that aldermanic.
Take advantage.
Yeah. Hey, don't make me make a phone call. Yeah.
We do have the aldermanic election coming up, so I think it has something to do with that.
No, what's up with the trains, Mary?
The South Shore and Metro Electric are still not operating. They're still having wire problems. The freight train derailed on Wednesday night in Harvey, so they're trying to repair that on the electric line.
And so the Northwest Indiana mess is bigger than ever because people can't get to work.
Yes. Well, they have to take Rock Island or CTA Pace. They're all honoring Metro tickets, but otherwise they have to drive. Yeah.
You still got that triple tractor trailer jackknife situation?
On 8094, yes. The lanes have been reopened, but it's still a mess, and there's a couple other accidents there as well.
So, happy Friday for those of you who have to go to work.
We shouldn't let that go when this is all over and we're back to normal temperatures about the South Shore and the Metro Electric not running for 3 days.
Yeah.
That is how a huge swath of Chicago.
No question.
To work.
I don't remember. Did anybody find a historical equivalent of this? That 2 days in a row with no mail, where the postal service goes, we're not delivering.
And especially
Dave,
when
you're the oldest guy, I know. So 2 days in a row with no mail.
And once when the pony broke its leg, we did not get the mail two days in a row.
That's what it would have been.
Yeah. Paul Revere was sick. He had the flu.
Do you guys actually still get mail anyway? I mean, what comes in your mail?
Bed Bath
well, you know what?
Coupons.
Everybody's waiting right now besides Bed Bath & Beyond tax returns.
Wait, let me talk to the millennial Grzanich. Yeah. How old are you? What do you mean, do you get mail?
Listen, the only thing I get in the mail are catalogs.
Oh,
that's all. And
next thing you know, you'll have the internet. I'm very impressed.
And then Miles gets his Mad Magazine.
I get my People.
Yeah.
It's very important.
And it's a huge issue in our house because Mad Magazine is not very reliable. Yeah. So they say he thinks it's coming on a certain day, but doesn't come for a week and a half later.
To grab that microphone, Miles, you know how radio works, buddy. What'd you say?
I think Miles has school again today.
CPS has an institute day, Mary. This was a planned day.
By the way, for all the people listening who still get mail, I get mail as well, but sometimes the people on the show are too cool for the room and they think that, oh, yeah, we don't get mail. It's not just Krasanich. It's all you
know. But if you're still getting mail.
All my bills come in email. I know.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So
otherwise, you're just killing trees if you still get mail.
It's very bad.
Oh, please. I still get invitations to things and, you know.
Rub it in.
Thank you, no. Notes, things like that.
For you male men and male women listening, I appreciate you.
Yes,
the rest
of
the show doesn't care. A federal judge made it official. Chicago police has a consent decree. The judge finalized that agreement yesterday.
Huge.
Big news. I'll bring that up with Preckwinkle, amongst other things, next. Breaking news, Cory Booker's in. Cory Booker says, we will rise, announcing in the last 15 minutes that he is in. You know where his first interview is today?
Where?
The View. Okay. You know why he's on The View?
Why?
Because this is the year of the woman, presidentially, with more female candidates than ever. So his people said, first interview, we're going to go on that show. We're going to go on The View.
It's going to be an interesting race. Cory Booker, obviously, has always had his eyes on aspirations on being president. But as we talked to Rebecca Sive and others, there is a real push for the Democrat nominee to be female. And so it's an interesting choice to say, I'm going to start my campaign on The View.
By the way, Democrats, stop whining. Howard Schultz being in the race is perfectly fine. You know what? Beat him. And if you can't beat Trump this time around, it's your fault. Howard Schultz isn't necessarily going to suck from Democrats. He could suck from Republicans. He's more of a Republican than a Democrat. And hearing all of these Democrats whining that Howard Schultz is in and basically saying, get out, that's completely un-American.
Yeah, absolutely. But at the same time, I mean, you do want a really strong moderate Republican to run who is going to take from the Trump base. Not an independent Democrat who may give alternatives to the front runner on the Democrat.
You don't get to make that call.
To be fair, Howard Schultz is getting his fair share of criticism this week because of stuff he's said in interviews and things that he couldn't say how much a box of Cheerios cost in an interview with MSNBC. He, you know, talked about taxes being too high, and that's why he's running.
Then if he loses based on that as a candidate who's out of touch, it's fine. Right. But there's nothing more un-American than saying you can't run because you're not Republican or Democrat.
He also misspelled my name on my Starbucks cup. I was like, oh, gosh, you know.
Is he still working occasionally at the Starbucks?
Once in a while he steps in.
I think he gets free coffee, though.
Jared?
No, next. War over the word wall continues. The president says there's no deal if he doesn't get his wall. And Speaker Pelosi says there's no money in the new legislation for the wall. Trump is blasting lame duck Paul Ryan for failing to get him the wall when the GOP led the House. Gee, do you think it had anything to do with your winning personality, Donald Trump?
Really, just everybody.
Next. CNN reporting an important story this morning. The infamous blocked phone calls from Donald Trump Jr. were not to Daddy. CNN reporting they have verifiable proof in multiple sources, and I'm sure this won't be fake news because it favors Donald Trump.
Trump Tower meeting with the Russians talking about adoption.
Yeah, what the meeting would be, what it wouldn't be, what the excuse will be.
There was a phone call before and maybe after the meeting, and it was blocked, and a lot of people thought that was the president directing his son, and now CNN says those calls were not to the president.
And Trump,
the candidate at the time.
And Trump, who hates CNN more than life itself, more than a bad hair day, which of course would be 7 days a week.
He's now loving him.
He has to, right?
Did they say who those calls actually went to?
They said a business associates, but they did not
Howard
say
Howard Schultz.
Did they get this information? Because we all know the special counsel doesn't leak.
Well, they said they have done on three different sources verifying this information from the special counsel.
You're the news guy. Call them up. They'll tell you it's inside information. Just say professional courtesy. Steve Grzanich calling. Tell me where you got your source.
I'm always leery of anybody who says anything about the special counsel.
Yeah, I understand, but it's a big win if true, but three sources tells you that. Win for Trump.
But think about this. It's a big win for him to run with, right?
Yeah.
With the 30% that believe him. But think about this. This would be something that we would go, wow, big win for Trump because he's not a criminal in this case.
Yeah, right.
So we're giving him a big break here because he's not lying about this one. He's not a criminal.
Right.
What that standards couldn't be lower.
And you said that he should be a fan of CNN now. Chuck Todd pointed out yesterday that he likes anyone that gives him affirmation.
Right.
Yeah.
And then hates him the next day.
Yeah. Because everybody has an expiration date.
And one more. Beyonce and Jay-Z are offering fans a chance to win lifetime tickets to anything they do. Get up in the morning, have coffee with them, you know, hang out at the house. Every concert done for the rest of their life if they go vegan. It's the big vegan contest.
The funny qualifier on that is they said that they don't expect you to go vegan 24/7, but you have to make a push for the lifestyle.
I don't know how
there's
you prove
a,
it.
There's a, they're pushing
how do you
a product.
Prove you're in a contest?
There's pushing a product that does it, like a Weight Watchers for vegan. But the overall reaching thing is that Beyonce believes we need to move to a plant-based food system to help the environment. I mean, maybe she listens to Steve Cochran show.
Absolutely.
Listens to Justin talking about beans instead of meat.
Also, Steve, it's the American Weathermaker's 70th anniversary today.
And happy anniversary to Dick Hochschild and his lovely wife. Business founded February 1st, 1949 in Evanston by his father, Bill. Relocated to Northbrook. They've been there for 15 years or so. Residential heating and cooling prompt service. These are the 60 Minute Men who sponsor Friday, essentially, here on the Steve Cochran Show, where Lou Manfredini will be coming up next. We need a phone call, 312-981-7200. Got any problems at home? I imagine you do, based on everything.
Right.
312-981-7200. Call in, and let's get Lou's first call.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
I already said happy anniversary for you to the Hochschilds and American Weathermakers.
You did?
Yeah. Covered you. You can, of course, make a full deal about it tomorrow on your show, if you like, as well.
Meaning that you're out of time.
Exactly. Let's go to Janet, your mail carrier. Good morning, Janet.
Hey, good morning.
You're Lou's mail carrier?
Yes, sir, I am. Good morning, Lou.
Hi, how are you?
Real good. I want to apologize for the interruption in service. This is the first time in 30 years that they've suspended the mail, and we're going to be delivering today.
Well, it's not your fault, obviously. And have you ever had 2 days in a row?
No, sir. We've never had one day off.
Isn't that crazy?
It's never been suspended. It has never been suspended.
Oh, it was a smart move on their part.
Yeah.
No question. For safety reasons. For safety reasons. And it's just not cost effective to deliver mail with the injuries that they might have occurred.
But you're walking, or some of your cohorts are walking. How big are those bags today, Santa? Because you got 3 days worth of mail in them.
Well, contractually, we carry 30 pounds of mail on our back.
Ah, there you go. Okay, multiple laps. Anyway, thanks. I just want you to know, unlike the incredibly cool people on this show, I still get mail.
Well, you know what? I stuck out and delivered a few people's houses, but don't tell anybody.
Ooh. What a dedicated individual. Janet, thank you. Do you have any questions for Lou about your own house, or are you good?
No. You know, I listen to this program all the time, and and he answers everything. And so I've got nothing at this time, but thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
That's great.
I hope you tip her, man. She's good.
I wanted her to disclose, like, what type of things she's delivering to the man.
You know what? I bet, like, medicine.
She's actually saved
one
of our dogs probably twice that's gotten out because, you know, he's got a little tag around his neck.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, it's got the phone number on there.
Any work
Janet
needs at home.
Your dog is down the street.
Any work Janet needs at home, I insist you go do it.
Yeah. Hey, you know,
we just lost Jeannie, who was our first caller.
I have a call.
Go ahead. You're our first caller.
You know, I saw this. I have a couple of things. One, and I saw the texter had the same issue. Frost on the inside of the door and onto the floor. That seems to be an issue that you've seen on social media in the last 2 days.
Inside frost, Lou. What do we got?
Inside frost.
Too much humidity inside the house and too low a temperature on the outside. I've seen a lot of photographs of issues like this because even just the simple thing of if you did any cooking while you were during that polar vortex and you get excessive humidity in an area, it can travel through the home and it finds an area where the draft is and it
forces that frost on the inside surface. For most people, it's not a big issue because I think if you wipe it away once we get to more tempered climate around in normal winter, I think it'll be fine. And but the houses will take a while to adjust. My biggest concern now with the warm up is not only the broken pipes that we've seen the last couple days, but ice dams starting to form because the rain is coming and this little bit of snow, kind of blanketed a pretty large area of the city.
And ice dams, the Uh-oh. Historical string on that name is this. Guy sees ice and he goes, ice damn. Mm-hmm. That's where it came from, right? You taught me that years ago.
Right. That's right.
All right, Jeannie's back. First caller. Jeannie, what's your question?
Hey, Lou. I'm just wondering, how soon can I turn off all these dripping faucets?
You could do that today.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Yeah, don't hang up.
We're up to about 10 degrees right now, and I think that we're going towards a warming trend, and so I think that now all that dripping faucet, advice that I was given and a lot of people were giving over the last few days, which was wise, you can go back to normal.
Should I put the bonfire out in the center of my family room that I started to stay warm?
Yeah, that. I was thinking, the American Weathermakers people, when they were back in 1949, the dad, when he started it, that's what they did. They used to give people a couple of logs and say, just light it, you'll be warm.
Right.
It's come a long way since then.
Control the fire.
Right.
Jeannie gets an April Air Wi-Fi thermostat, allows you to adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone from American Weathermakers, the 60 Minute Men. Call them at 855-955-HVAC, and don't forget to say happy anniversary. Because it's their anniversary. Tomorrow on the program, you'll answer all the other questions we didn't have time to get to today. Every
single
one. I will
do that from 7 to 10.
And I hope you have a great weekend.
Love you, too. All
thanks, right,
I got you.
I dropped Pete off yesterday because he takes public transportation, and so I've been picking him up and taking him home. And I went inside the house to see the pets, and everything that Lou had said we should do was being done at that house. They had dripping faucets. All the furniture was moved out of the way of the heating vents. They were on Lou's plan.
Lou is a hero.
Yeah.
He's an American icon. I can't thank him enough because there were a lot of things that he said on this program that I also did, and it at least relieves some of the anxiety.
If you need a ride to or from work, Sandberg will take care of it. It's Mary's Uber. It's Moober. She'll pick you up. She'll drop you off. Her rates are good. Mm-hmm. Let's take that break. Come back, and we get your headlines next on 720 WGN.
It's business time.
Put yourself an NFL star and an international human rights lawyer together, and of course you're going to get an app to help small businesses. Time for the download, Justin.
Download from Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. One of the biggest issues for any small business has to be how you connect with customers. A new app is being highlighted called YouTroo, YOOTROO, and that does exactly that. It is essentially think Uber for small businesses to be able to connect consumers in neighborhoods and cities with their businesses, including here in Chicago. 500 businesses have been highlighted as part of YouTroo. Nolan Carroll used to play with the Miami Dolphins, and he is the entrepreneur behind the YouTroo app, and he joins us now. Nolan, thanks for being here.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me on. I hope you guys are staying warm out there.
I know. Well, it's a lot warmer today, 5 degrees. Nolan, let me ask you, where does this idea come from?
The idea just comes from giving small businesses a fighting chance to really be out there and have consumers see what a product is all about. Me, I'm a small business owner myself, so I understand the importance of marketing and knowing how to market and finding the right way to market without spending a whole lot of money just aimlessly. And I think YouTroo it gives small businesses an opportunity to do that and compete with the bigger companies like Walmart, Target, gas stations, Shell, Chevron, just different things that you can think of, the big name companies that are out there that are always just flushing money daily into marketing and you see it constantly. YouTroo gives small businesses a chance to do the same thing, and they put it right in front of your phone. So it gives people that are always on their phones daily a chance to see somebody else's product, to see somebody else's advertisements, to see what they really do. So I think it's a great concept, actually.
Nolan, it's interesting because I would assume there'd be a challenge to attract businesses to something like this, but there'd also be a challenge to attract consumers. For you at YouTube, you have to really think about both.
Yeah, we have to play right down the middle. You know, when we decided to do YouTube, we had to think of both in mind the consumer and the business. And for us, you know, on the business side of it, it's getting a target audience. You know the amount of people that you would like to reach weekly, monthly, daily, if you wanted to, and the price varies on who you want to reach, but you know you're getting a certain amount of customers daily, weekly, monthly that are going to view your website, that's going to view your advertisements. And you know, on the business, or, I mean, on the consumer side, we're paying consumers basically to watch ads. You know, what better way to make some side money is just to watch ads 5 minutes a day and, you know, possibly make, you know, $5-6 daily just from doing that. We're on our phones 4 or 5 hours daily anyway, whether it's Instagram, surfing the internet, whatever it is. Why not just take some time out of your day and get paid a little bit extra?
Have you always been entrepreneurial, even when you were a player?
I have been, and it's been funny. I've always wanted to do something besides football. And, you know, I have my foundation that I have, the Nolan Carroll Foundation, and that's geared towards underprivileged children and helping them, you know, with their SAT, ACT test scores, about health and working out, the importance of that, you know, the importance of playing together in team sports. So it's a bunch of different things with my foundation that I do, but, you know, that was my real experience with the entrepreneurship, with having my own foundation and reaching out to other people to get to donate and, you know, help support my foundation. So I've always had a niche to do that. And for me, I was lucky enough to meet JP last year with something completely different. And it just, for me and him, we clicked. And then we met, and then it just seemed like week after week, we were just constantly meeting and just meeting about different things. He would just share lessons with me about business and how to operate the mindset, and we just clicked ever since, man. It's been a great relationship, and he's brought me in with YouTube to help it grow, and I think it's been a great journey so far.
Nolan, the interesting thing is trying to figure out who's going to be in this app, because if to say a local company or a local small business, that can mean a lot of different things. How do you keep it authentic and make sure that you're truly getting the small businesses and vet out businesses that may have a losing track record?
Yeah. Well, we reach out to them personally, and you know, we find out their interests and we gauge what they're trying to do with their business, who they're trying to reach. And then after that, you know, we pretty much do all the work. But what we do for these businesses, we promise them that if you want a target audience for this week or, like I said, this month, we'll make sure that you get it. And we show them the data and the information. It's not like we just say it and then we don't do it. You know, we go through what we do and we make sure that you're going to get what you pay for. And we think it's valuable for small businesses that are just now starting out, or people that have, you know, been in the game for a while that are trying to find new ways and new avenues to reach new customers. We do that for them. So for us, I consider us like another Groupon. You know, the way we operate, we show people deals. We also are paying people at the same time to watch advertising, which is something nobody else has done and can't do. But you know, I think that's the difference between us and helping small businesses and helping other people that are also trying to find another way to reach the general population.
And by paying the consumer to check these ads out, you know, they have some investment there as well, so that it becomes an authentic audience.
It definitely does.
Nolan, the last question, just Chicago is a specific market, and it's different than your New Yorks or your Atlantas or your even your West Coasts. How do you make sure that you're paying attention to what the consumer in Chicago needs?
Well, with YouTrue, the great thing about it is we have so many different categories in YouTrue. You can really, as a consumer, when you go on there, you can look at anything you want to. And you can also have your settings set to whatever your interests are. So if you like movies, you like shopping, you know, you like TV shows, or you like cars, those certain interests will pop up for you on the notifications and let you know, okay, we have this deal in place, we have that deal in place, we have this new business that just signed on, the ones that are in your interest. But if you wanted to, you could go and look for something else that's outside of your interest, you know, whether it could be a kid's toy store, or, you know, it could be, you know, a nice restaurant or a nail salon, something like that that you would like to see. But at the same time, when you view these things, you get paid. So we like to keep it simple, but at the same time, we'd like to benefit both parties, with the consumer and the business side, and get it, give everybody something in return for using Utroo.
Utroo is Y-O-O-T-R-O-O. It's the app that connects consumers and small businesses. Nolan Carroll is one of the entrepreneurs behind it. He joined us today on the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Nolan, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem, man. Thanks for having me.
And the nice thing is this is so you don't have to invest in your own app or, you know, this. You just pay for the advertising that you're looking for. You know, you can pay and do a test run, do a month. You don't have to commit to, like, a huge thing if you're a business.
Yeah, it's cool. And it's smart. It's just like we talked about the first one, Download Chicago Business, we did on the program, which is about how do small businesses keep up, you know, with shipping. We did shipping at that point.
Oh, that's right.
This is about apps. I mean, how do you keep up with Amazon being able to click, click, click on a phone and be done with it? So Utroo is our guest today in the Download Chicago Business.
Next hour, your MVP, Jared Payton. Dave, what are you doing for the Super Bowl?
What am I doing for the Super Bowl? Actually, hosting a couple of friends. I mean, you're certainly welcome.
Is this your way of asking, Dave? Hosting a couple of friends?
Yeah, listen, just come on over.
Just didn't know how to bring it up. Thought you'd bring it up suddenly, kind of around the corner.
Now, Steve, did you know that Dave was having a party and you weren't invited?
I wouldn't call it a party,
Mary. And that's why you mentioned it?
No, the reason I brought it up is because later in the show, I'll tell myself I have time to ask you guys what you're doing for the Super Bowl, and we'll run out of time.
Oh, okay.
Justin, what are you doing?
Nothing.
All right, good call. Miles, what are you doing for the Super Bowl?
I'm taking an academic center, or not an academic center test. I'm probably going to take a classical test when it starts. But
is that a test to determine where you go to school?
Yeah.
No. Like the CPS thing?
He wants to get technical. It's the test that determines if he goes into the gifted program at school.
Yeah.
And it's on Sunday.
Once a year they do it. But for some reason, they do it on Sundays. And that's fine, usually. But
they do it on Super Bowl Sunday?
Super Bowl Sunday. That's surprising to me.
At 3 o'clock.
How bitter will those proctors be?
Yeah.
I'd say it's more sacrilegious than surprising, to be honest.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you're the adults that have to be in the room going, "Come on, kids!"
You can do, like, religious exemptions and things like that for testing. I wonder if you could do a sports exemption. Like,
should be able to.
I know I'm a sports person. I cannot take this test.
Should be able to.
Sports and academics have never really mixed.
Sandberg, what are you doing for the Super Bowl?
I'm going to a party that we go to every year.
Well, you sound excited.
Yeah.
What about you? What are you doing?
My daughter's move will be finalized on Sunday because of the bad weather yesterday, so we're going to be helping her move. But she'll be done by kickoff.
Will the TV be hooked up? Cable?
She'll be done by cook-off, and we'll be back at the house by then.
What's going to be your spread? Smoothies?
Yeah, it's going to be a weird weekend because tomorrow's her birthday, so we got a bunch of the family folks coming over. The family. They're not generally called the family folks. So that's probably pizza.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Sunday? I don't know.
Go double pizza. I think nothing makes a good weekend than pizza 2 days in a row.
No. We're actually doing that. We're doing pizza tonight and pizza Sunday.
Dave, that is an ideal
Which is very
weekend.
Unusual for me.
I got a pop-up pizza store that I'm putting up for the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's a good idea.
I don't want to invest in a full franchise, but there's always a little overrun where you can't get your pie on time.
Just we'll get that done like on side Sunday. Of the road kind of thing?
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, going to buy them ahead of time.
Like in California, they got the peaches on the side of the road.
Exactly.
Like, nope.
Have you noticed, by the way, pizza. Normally by this time you've seen every Super Bowl ad? Is it just me because I was traveling this week? I haven't seen any of the Super Bowl.
The buzz has been less. The hype's been less.
Which is great, I think.
Miles, what are you looking forward to in terms of commercials?
Oh.
Have you watched them all online? The ones that are out?
Yeah.
Give me the best. Don't spoil alert me. Give me the best one.
That's a hard question.
Give me your favorite.
Just let me...
Do you like a... You're
he's going to the headphones.
While he's putting the cans
Which ones do you think are going to be on there? Because it's all about movie trailers, right?
Avengers Endgame is definitely going to be on there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about the Budweiser commercial? You big on the Budweiser commercial at 11, Miles?
I mean, maybe. It's kind of okay.
I think Geico has a push, right? Because they keep playing the old commercials right now and telling you to go vote.
It's all I've seen is Geico.
There are so many movies coming out in the cartoon or the comic book world, whether it be a DC or Marvel, that there's bound to be trailers released on
Super Bowl Sunday. There's got to be a Joker trailer in there somewhere.
But there's also got to be...
celebrity cameos in commercials.
Yeah.
That, you know,
some pistachio eaters.
Yeah, I want to say like Amy Schumer with pistachios.
Mm. There you go.
That's a good one.
It's not bad.
It might be. It might not.
Will you give me the phone, wherever you're going to be, like even during the test, so I can call you and just consult with you on this stuff?
Uh-huh. They would not like that.
All right. If you want to play by the rules, okay. Vanderbilt, what are you doing for the Super Bowl?
I'm going to, grandbabies are coming into town.
Ah, there you go.
But they're not staying at my house. They're staying at the other in-law's house.
That's outrageous.
Which is fine. That's, you know, her parents' house.
I don't think you said that behind closed doors.
They invited us for a Super Bowl party, so we will be going to their house.
Ah, that's nice.
With the babies.
Will the dogs be there, Mayor?
Yes, they have a puppy, and then Remy, the big black lab, will be there, my son's dog.
The grandkids aren't enough. You certainly want the dogs around
Granddogs,
well.
Grandkids.
We'll tell you how the game was, since you won't be watching
any. I know. I won't be able to see any of it, but that's okay.
What about you, Grzanich? What are you doing?
I'm either going to Dave Ennett's house or going with Mary Sandberg to her party.
You can come with me. Everyone's
You can go with Mary.
You can go to Miles' test with him.
No, not you can come to over, Steve.
I could go to Miles' test with Miles as well.
You can come by and help. Yeah. You can help Amy finish up her move. You want to swing by?
Yeah, I could do that.
I'm weighing all four options.
Okay. Steve will be going through his mail that he doesn't get.
Yeah, exactly. Right. All right, back with the news in just a moment. Yes, is that what we're doing? What you're pointing at?
You didn't ask Super Joe.
Super Joe, I know what Super Joe's doing. He's going to be wanting to be left alone. He's going to sit there. He's going to have some Italian food, and don't talk to him.
And Saturday night, I'm bringing pizza to the Ennett, so there's pizza three nights in a row, baby.
Wow.
How about that?
It's a big weekend. Is Pete still with us, or did he quit?
No, he left.
Okay.
Yesterday. Yep. Sorry, bub.
What would he be doing for the Super Bowl if he was on the show?
He would be...
That's incorrect. He'd be looking out the window to see if somebody drops an eggplant off on the step.
Eggplant, yep.
All right, now we're back with the news in a moment on 720 WGN.
You know, this is classic Donald Trump. You promise people the sun, the moon, and the stars, and what you really do is put a couple of pebbles in their shoes. The Foxconn plan was heavily dependent on their being free to pollute Lake Michigan and go back to the days when, remember, the Cuyahoga River caught fire in 1969 for the umpteenth time. They wanted air pollution exemptions, and the idea that they were going to have 13,000 jobs building flat panel display screens, that's a pretty inefficient company. I mean, this has been a con job from the beginning.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's writer David K. Johnson, former guest on this show, matter of fact, multiple times, who has written several books on the con that is Donald Trump. The Making of Donald Trump is one of the better Trump books you could ever read, which talks about the stuff that we've seen in the last 2 years is nothing different than what he's done for his entire career. And all the bodies he's left in his wake. Having said all of that, let me go to Steve Grzanich on this, because you've been soaking up this story, Steve. This Foxconn thing could be laid at the feet of outgoing governor or former governor Scott Walker and the people in Wisconsin who said, sure, here's all the tax breaks you need.
Yeah, I mean, lots of tax breaks. Was it $4 billion worth? You know, there are a lot of things at play here, Steve, about why this is happening now. Part of this obviously has to do with the tariffs, the trade war that's going on between the two countries. There's been a historic slowdown in China as well with their economy. And the competition with these LCD screen production has been pretty stiff. And it's pretty expensive to hire workers in Wisconsin. And so you put all of those things together, and I hate using the phrase a perfect storm, but that's what has happened here. And while Foxconn says it still wants to invest in Wisconsin, it's really unclear exactly what that investment is going to look like.
And Paul Ryan's could take some of the fault here, too. As speaker, he had a lot of power, and he signed off on this as well, literally or figuratively. So here's the thing I don't understand. If a business, whether it's in Chicago or wherever, gets major tax breaks, and they violate the core of the agreement by going in a different direction or changing the hiring numbers or whatever, can't you take back some of those tax breaks?
Well, you would think so, and maybe that's something that the new governor of Wisconsin will try to do. I know there's been a report that he wants to perhaps renegotiate with Foxconn, but a lot of those tax breaks were put in place so that Foxconn would have to meet certain benchmarks to get them. Like, for instance, in 2018, the company had to hire a certain number of workers to get one of the first $4 million tax breaks. They didn't hire as many workers as they were supposed to, so they didn't get those tax breaks. going forward.
So there are safety levers.
There are some safety levers, right.
Okay.
But
can
still, I mean, the people who are in southeast Wisconsin, the governments there that have already put money, their own money invested into buying land, into turning stuff, getting some of the stuff going, they're, you know, scratching their heads now, wondering what is going to happen. Well, they expect Foxconn to follow through.
And people who made decisions to not sell their house and move and take a different job, and there's a million little examples of things that they were counting on that are not going to happen now.
But is that really what's at the core, the million little examples? Because how much money was actually given to, literal money was given to Foxconn at this point?
I don't think we know, do we, Steve?
I don't think we know either. I know that, you know, they had planned to create eventually 13,000 jobs that they've now said, and just kind of looking at that part of it, that now instead of that, they maybe have 5,200 people by the end of 2020. But even in the last 24 hours now, people are saying that's going to be closer to just 1,000 workers. And the plant that we've been talking about, this manufacturing facility, is going to look more like a research and development hub. And the workforce there is going to be less blue-collar and more research and development technical type people, more college educated folks.
Right, and there's nothing really a provision to re-educate those who would have been doing factory work. There's nothing set aside to say we're going to take people and in 12 months we're going to teach them how to to do things they don't know how to do now to make sure they have jobs. There's nothing in there at all about that.
Have we heard from the president at all on this?
We haven't, and you know, this is from the political part of this. This is going to be, could be a big hit for him, because this is something, you know, he was up there. There was a big show, a dog and pony show, about how this was going to be a huge manufacturing boost for Wisconsin and the Midwest.
He's bringing jobs back.
President is going to bring jobs back. If that doesn't happen, if these manufacturing jobs don't come with this development, you have to ask yourself, will Wisconsin be in his corner next time around in 2020?
Steve, is there, you know, you mentioned yesterday in the office after the show that they had already started like moving land and things, like actually tilling the ground, getting ready for the things. Is there people that are not going to get paid, you know, for services they've already done on the project?
That's a good point.
That's a very good question. And, you know, we're just, there are so many people that are just surprised at what this development, the developments in this story have been over the last 48, 72 hours, that I don't think those questions have been answered yet. But there, in addition to moving ground, there have been more smaller companies that would go in to be supportive of Foxconn's major work there, that have business plans that they, you know, plan to move to southeast Wisconsin to do that work.
There's been so much bad governing, and it sucks up the news cycle in a way that these follow-up stories are tough to do. Now, this is obviously a headline story, but you may remember one of the first things out of the gate for Trump was this, wasn't it, HVAC plant in Indiana that was going to go to Mexico, and they decided they were going to keep it.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. And those folks there largely are out of work as well. So the smoke and mirrors that is the Trump economy is not the Trump economy, and people need to pay attention to it.
There could be a positive for Illinois here in this story. If they go ahead with this research and development hub, they're going to have to draw a more educated workforce from a larger area around southeast Wisconsin. So that means people who have this kind of expertise in northern Illinois, maybe even northwest Indiana, could be drawn for jobs in Wisconsin at this plant.
847 made a great point, too, not to mention all the local villages, the village boards, and others who commissioned studies on how they were going to get the water to the Foxconn plant, where the traffic rearrangements. There's millions of dollars that were spent by the local governments to prepare for Foxconn coming, that they will not see a return on that investment.
Yeah,
and the politicians that signed off on it won't have to pay for it. Scott Walker may not be able to run for office again, but he's going to do just fine in business. Paul Ryan's doing just fine in business. Bad governing is dangerous. That's why you got to be really heartened by the fact that we saw 50% turnout in the midterms, and hopefully a 50% or more turnout for the mayoral election coming up. Because people are angry. Anger motivates people to actually get up, go out, and vote. And, Steve, I'll leave you with this, because maybe we can get into this a little more later. Mitch McConnell, one of my least favorite humans, Mitch McConnell said something over the weekend about a sort of a sweeping initiative coming out of the House that was all about ethics and all about reform. And one of the pushes in this bill was to have Election Day be a national holiday. And Election Day being a national holiday, meaning that people would then have an opportunity to go out and vote where maybe they wouldn't now. Mitch McConnell said, and I'll get the direct quote, but he essentially said the Democrats are just trying to do that to win elections.
Yeah.
In other words, why would we go with something that could increase the vote total? That's just going to screw us.
It's just amazing he said it.
Said it out loud.
I can't believe he said it out loud. Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
How about another salute to folks working hard and risking their own health to help the homeless? Aleel Demir, is the CAT Foundation's executive director, is here. And the staff out braving this insane Arctic Circle weather in the past couple of days to help homeless folks. Can I call you Halil?
Yes, sir.
You are the most valuable person on the planet, and you thought there was no reward to your frostbite in the last couple of days.
No, reward is for those brave men and women who actually trying to make Chicago a better place to live.
Explain what Zakat is.
Zakat is actually a third pillar of Islam, and it means charity. So that every Muslim, 2.5% of their excessive wealth must give into poor. And the word is coming from there. It means literally charitable giving or charity.
And the foundation handed out thousands of blankets and coats and hats and socks and warm meals and water and hygiene kits over the past couple of days. How many volunteers are we talking about?
Well, I think approximately 30.
That's a lot of work. That's a ton of work for that group. And were you out in the middle of it as well, or were you the dispatch center?
No. Actually, I was in action too. I was there. I was part of distribution. So we have a list of location. We have identified list of location where we're supposed to be visiting. And from our past experience, where the homeless folk usually stands, and so that's actually make our life easy because of our experience, and knowing where we can locate them and who to contact and where to find them. So we are very familiar with the homelessness in Chicago. So it was a little easier for us to without spending too much time to finding them.
Halil, I'm interested. There was so much made from the city of Chicago and the Office of Emergency Management and the mayor saying the city was going to come to them if they didn't come to the city. There was a huge push to get the homeless off the streets. In your experience of being out in the last 2 days in these temperatures, did that work? Were there less homeless or no homeless, or were there still people that were braving the elements?
Well, homelessness, as you know, has been an issue existing in Chicago for a long time. Doesn't matter how hard we try, but there are still a lot of folk out there actually. Last night, the one that we find in the street, we couldn't find any homes. I just located them here in a hotel. Actually, we signed a contract with hotel, so brought them to hotel. They are here with us. So there were a lot of folks still, unfortunately, in the street, and a lot of places temporarily opened their door to accommodate them. Accommodate them means, like police station, few police station that accommodate these folk. Obviously, people don't love to go to police station, stay in police station, but there were no other option. But answer your question, yes, there are people in the street, actually.
Yeah, and to have everybody else step up and do that, including the police stations being warming centers, it's a big deal. For the folks who want to help the foundation, how do they do that?
Well, our website is zakat.org, zakat.org. They can find us. Our phone number is ZakatUS, 1-888-ZAKAT-US. They can find us also by Googling. They can see our website. And our colleagues are in the street. Again, with our vans are driving around, they will probably see us, locate us, with the distribution and stopping and moving.
God bless you. Thanks for the work you're doing.
Yes, so bless you too. Thank you.
There you go.
Thanks. And it's important for people to know that those items are needed year-round, during polar vortex. They always need... People don't think about personal care items in the homeless population, but you always need them.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing to do. And it's the ultimate truth about Islam. Islam is peace, prayers, charity, pilgrimage, the five pillars, and the notion that... Muslims are running around trying to figure out what to blow up next is outrageous. And that's a fine example by Mr. Demir, Halil Demir, and the Zakat Foundation. All right. break in the headlines next, 720 WGN.
Every once in a while, my son asks me what game am I going to break in it. But
what do you tell him?
I told him wait till the press conference on Wednesday.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Cool moment. Lots of those. Walter Payton gone far too soon, and the great Walter Payton family, Brittany and Jared and Connie, have done such a wonderful job of maintaining his legacy. And the Walter Payton Award is this weekend. And we got a bear and a former bear right there at the top, right? And Robbie Gold up for this as well. Well, I want to ask Jared. Jared's standing by live from Atlanta. Obviously couldn't get a big interview this morning, so he agreed to talk to me. Good morning,
hey,
Jared.
Man. Good morning, Steve. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, my WGN family. How you guys doing?
Good morning, buddy. Doing well, pal. How are you?
I was trying to leave yesterday to get here, and it was like negative 24 when I left out of my house, and my wife and I were sitting at O'Hare trying to figure out if we were going to drive 11 hours because our flight was being delayed. So we had to get here. So it's funny that we actually waited it out, got here, and that former bear you're talking about, Robbie Gold, he actually had to drive 11 hours to get here for all the events.
That's why he's a finalist. He drove for 11 hours.
That's right.
Yeah, I got to see him and Trey Burton last night, and both just amazing men, and all the guys that were here last night for our reception. It's the second year that we've had this Walter Payton Award reception, and it's amazing. So just to see like Peyton Manning come back, Anthony Munoz, those guys were back
last night.
Last night I was looking at Chris Long, Kyle's brother, and then also Peyton Manning, and they were sitting there talking, and people were flashing cameras, and I walked over, and Peyton looked at me and saw me, and started walking towards me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, one of the goats is coming over to say hello to me. I gotta get myself right. And he walks over, shakes my hand, he's like, isn't it amazing how big this award has got, Jay? Nice. I was like, man, it's pretty amazing to see that.
Let me ask you a question. Did you give Peyton Manning the Jared Payton hug? Here's what Jared Payton does. Jared Payton's by the way. He's rock solid shape.
Yeah.
Jared Payton will grab you, hug you, and pick you up off the ground and give you a little shake as well. And by the way, he's done it to me.
Yeah.
On multiple occasions. So did you give Peyton Manning the Jared Payton hug?
No, I didn't give him the Jared Payton. I gave him the Dave Innett handshake and a smile. You know what I mean?
Wait, why do I feel like I just got dissed there?
No, it's a compliment.
Oh, man. Well, this award, like Steve said, this award has gotten so big, Jared. I mean, there's so many great names who have won it over the years. And I just wonder, in the circles in which you travel when you're down there at the Super Bowl, what do people say to you about this award and what it means?
It's funny because now it is. It's kind of, that's the award on the night of the honors that people want to win. And it's some way competitive now because they have like the Walter Payton Award Challenge now. So on the social media, but you know, all these guys are just, not only do they want to win, but they're just very humbled and honored to be a nominee from their teams. Cause to see their names linked with all the other guys. And when you walk into the reception last night, they have all these big, tall things that light up with like all these pictures of the former winners, and when you see some of the names, it just, for these young guys and guys in the league now, they just look and go, man, my name is amongst these guys. So they're just truly honored, and it's cool to me because I'm in awe because they're idols of mine, and then you know they respect my dad and his game as being one of the legends, so they're kind of in awe as well. So it's always this funny like interaction when I meet, especially someone that I look up to that's playing in the league right now.
You know, Jared, it's become, not only it's a, you know, obviously everybody wants to win this award, but it's competitive. I would think that now you have so many different athletes who are giving back and being altruistic with their time and their organizations. And, you know, it seems like every player in the NFL is doing that. Does that make it more competitive that so many people are giving back and giving to charitable causes?
This year is a little bit different because, you know, we're so used to over the last, you know, since 99, there's always been like, you know, three finalists. And this year, the NFL has changed it up that we don't, and I know Steve's going to ask me who's winning.
Yeah, who is?
I don't know. I still don't know.
Oh, come on. You know.
I swear I don't know. But this year, the NFL brought back, they invited all 32 guys.
Ah, very cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. And to have everybody in the room, and a lot of the guys came back. I think 30 guys were at the reception last night, and, you know, just getting a chance to see it. Yeah, it is. It's become competitive. But I think these guys, they all talked about it on the panel last night, is that, you know, they just want to keep doing good things in the community. They want to keep giving back, and they want to have this platform that they have created through football to be able to help out off the field. And you know, a lot of the older guys were talking about, they didn't have social media back in the day. Right. And then you got a guy like J.J. Watt last year, who raised all that money for Houston. And it's
Dan Wake, Hurricane Maria. I don't know, what was it, 40, 50 million? It went crazy. I mean, the number was huge.
It was insane. So our family is just, we're honored to be able to have all these great men that are here and up for the award.
I still think the coolest moment was when Peanut Tillman won it. And standing, I mean, that was the most emotional I think I've ever seen the recipient get, not to mention you guys.
Yeah, I mean, for Peanut to be able to win it was amazing. He's unbelievable. What he does and currently still does, even though being retired, is amazing. But my wife and I were laughing because after he won, we went to dinner and we were all sitting around at this big table, our family, his family, getting to know him a little bit better. And we heard that Beyonce was doing an event and she was concert, and we all wanted to go. And we're like, oh, we got Charles Tillman, it's us. Like, we'll call the commish, we'll get in, we'll get tickets in, it's all good. We get a call back and they tell us that Justin Bieber and his entourage were the last people in the building, so we couldn't go. So I remember Charles and I looking at each other like, for real, the Biebs just like kicked us out of a Beyonce concert?
What would Walter say? Hey, by the way, speaking of Peanut, is he a CIA agent yet? Did we call him Agent Tillman? Is he still in that
CIA
program?
CIA or FBI?
Oh, was it FBI?
Yeah.
I guess it was CIA, we wouldn't know.
Right.
Yeah, we wouldn't know. But the one thing I do know is that he's every couple mornings, like at like 5 a.m., he'll send me a video text message of him on the Peloton bike, since we're Peloton riders. Encourage me to get on in the morning. So
challenge is on, buddy.
Peanut is amazing. Yeah, I love challenge it. Is on.
You know, the only problem with that is if you get Kaplan's first trying to impress you. All right, so yeah, I'll let you go on this, but speaking of the emotional part of this, you know, they say it gets easy over time. You know how much this city misses your dad, you know how much the Bears will always be tied to Walter Payton. But I was really touched by the fact that Dan Hampton, what was it, Sandberg, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago on Pro Football Weekly?
3 weeks ago, yeah.
He was talking about your dad and choking up, and the guys from 85 and the guys that played closest with your dad and were so tight with him. I mean, it's still a very emotional thing. I mean, that's got to be a weird thing for you, right? Because it makes you feel good, but there's a sadness to it as well.
Yeah, I got a little sadness. I always say if people stop talking about him, I'd be sad. But even last night, just to end on this, Mike Singletary walked into the room last night, and he was there for the event. And just having a conversation with him, and before we got done, he looked at me and he just said, you know, you can call me anytime for anything. And that's how I look at all those guys as my uncles, and him. Amen. And Jim McMahon and Matt Sui and Dan and Richard Dent, all those guys. Anytime I call them, they pick up the phone, and they're there when I need them anytime to be somewhere. So I'm just very thankful that they've looked out after our family. They look out after me. And being a dad, I have a lot of questions, and those guys are always there for me to be able to ask them questions. So to see Mike, and he gave me those eyes last night. And Dave, you know those eyes, man. Oh, yeah. He gave me those eyes, and I looked at him and it was hard because he almost started choking up a little bit. Like, you know, I'm always here for you. And that means a lot.
No kidding.
Being a kid that grew up. They saw me in my diapers back in the day. So they've seen me grow up over the years.
By the way, I wouldn't recommend that tomorrow under your tux.
Well, hey, you never know, man. It's a busy day for me. I might not be able to stop today.
Jared Payton, you want to throw out a website or two here?
If anybody wants to see what's going on with like the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award and everything going on, just go to my Instagram or Twitter. It's at Payton Sun, PaytonSun, and you can see all the pictures and all the videos that are going on.
My best to your wife, your growing family, your mom, your sister, and the whole Payton clan, and we look forward to seeing you on the awards tomorrow night.
Yeah, Steve, I'm just telling you, my wife, she's like putting her makeup on. She's upset that you didn't ask her to come on this morning. So it's all good. I told her next year.
I think you know. I've always liked her better than you. I just didn't want to start any trouble in the house.
Everybody says that. Love you guys.
All right, see you.
See you, Jared.
Jared Payton.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show. Is it too late now to say sorry?
Because I'm missing more. Compliments for A. Dean coming up. It's Justin Bieber making sure Jared Payton doesn't get into the party. I was told that the Lake Michigan is only 50% frozen over. How is that possible after the last 2 days? I would have thought we would be able to walk to Michigan by now.
I was disappointed to hear. I asked Ryan Burrow because, you know, he's doing all those experiments. And I was like, did you walk on the lake yet? And he said, you can't.
What do you mean you can't?
I don't know. And he's, like, smaller. So I thought for sure he'd be able to. Because it
was. You can see it from here. Just our beautiful view right at the mouth of the Chicago River. There are some spots that are still open. And so I don't know if that's because of current.
It's got to be water temperature, right? Sure. Water temperature didn't get as cold, obviously, as the air temperature. However, I will say this. It's going to be 30-something today, 40-something tomorrow, 50-something by Monday. And it's going to rain. So if you want to see some of the most amazing sights caused by the last 2 days, you got to do it this morning.
Well, the problem is there's some danger there. The Kankakee River, the residents along that river are worried because ice dams have formed. The current continues there. If it gets cold or if it gets warm and it melts that and it rains, you're talking about some massive flooding along the rivers in these areas.
And we have a lot of snow to melt and flood as well?
Yeah.
Or is that not an issue? Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's a good question.
All right, we got to take a break. Come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, or the newsroom, if that's a room's not available. And Steve will be there right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should.
A lot of big news in the world. Cory Booker's in for 2020, running for president. Oh, by the way, the new jobs report is out. Over 300,000 jobs added to the economy, though unemployment jumped up to 4%. That's still a good number. And it seems that we are now withdrawing, Dean, from the nuclear arms treaty that has kept us safe from Russia or us blowing each other up. We're pulling out of that. But really, I mean, what do people come to this segment for? They don't come for facts. Hey, they don't come for that. They come for morons.
Tomorrow is Groundhog's Day. Let's focus on important things.
Exactly.
There's a podcast that Steve did with the Mr. Groundhog. You can get at WGNRadio.com.
Is this in Pennsylvania or
Punxsutawney
Phil?
Please.
Or
no,
the Woodstock?
It's Woodstock, the one that matters.
Right.
Punxsutawney. You wash your mouth out. It's more
just that I can say the word Punxsutawney.
Yeah, exactly.
And honestly, the big thing about February 2nd is Amy Cochran's birthday.
How'd the move go yesterday?
I didn't. We got frozen out, so it's moved to Sunday. The move got moved. The move is now Sunday. And the fact that you and Bozo are coming over to start lifting, I love that idea.
Did you hear that? Dean just called you a lightweight.
No, he's calling the movers lightweights.
No, I called you lightweight.
Oh, I thought it was the movers.
Come on, you got a little cold weather and snow get in the way?
No, I'm saying the movers canceled the move.
If the movers were there, then why do you have to be there?
Well, I've got to be there to, you know, tell people what to do.
I thought you were like, I pictured you with a big strap around a refrigerator.
Yeah.
On his back.
Yeah. What are you laughing at? Of course that's what happens. All right, so is there a Jesse Smollett update?
Well, yeah, there are a couple of new things. We just had Superintendent Eddie Johnson on the TV morning news today. And, you know, there have been reports that Jesse Smollett has not been cooperating with police, that he refused to give up his phone records. And Eddie Johnson just said a few minutes ago that he's being extremely cooperative in providing information, everything that they've asked for, that he's received, that they are going to be turning over phone records. They're still going over video surveillance footage from the area, near downtown area where the alleged attack is said to have taken place, and talked to a witness there who said that they saw two suspicious-looking individuals, one of them with a rope hanging out of his pocket. Jesse Smollett said that he was attacked by two men who put a rope around his neck and threw a chemical on him and yelled, beat him and yelled racial and homophobic slurs at them. So the report from the witness is new. They're still going over videotapes, but, you know, we were talking about this yesterday, that you know, people are just, you know, making up facts about this and hearing one incorrect report after another from blogs and places of people speculating.
I just texted the internet and told them to back off till we know some facts.
Right? That's what we said yesterday. So why doesn't everybody just wait until we get the facts?
Dean, we advise people to rush to judgment first and then ignore the facts once they
come
out.
That's how we do life now.
I stand corrected.
There was a TMZ article this morning for his manager or Smollett's people talked about there were no... Jussie never said there was these people were wearing MAGA hats. That was one thing that circulated, that he showed up at the hospital with the rope on. That never happened. He kept the rope on until the police came to his house. There's a lot of things that have gone wild on the internet that just aren't true.
And Steve. A lot of questions, a lot Steve. Of appropriate questions.
Yes, Steve.
I'm in charge of the internet.
Steve, a lot of people change their names on the internet when they file false things on there.
I ask that people, whether they have facts or not, always write under my name. You know, it's good for the fame level. Presuming that these creeps are still somewhere to be caught, we just want them caught. We want them caught today.
Yeah, want them caught, and we want to make sure that this doesn't happen to your son or daughter, you know, your loved one, because believe me, it happens to people all the time. These kinds of attacks happen all the time. This just happens to be to a famous person.
Did the superintendent say there's been anything close to this as far as, you know, a rope in somebody's pocket? Because that feels very targeted.
No, he didn't. He didn't reference the rope. This was from a different report about the eyewitness.
Yeah, and I guess he wouldn't talk about evidence anyway. All right. Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to wait for facts for as long as we can. Then we'll get back to making stuff up.
This is why I do not walk around with rope in my pocket, as far as you know.
Yeah. Well, you shouldn't, really. It's not a good look on you. Beyonce, Bobby Moynihan. This is important stuff you need to know about Bobby Moynihan. Dean was involved in this, and, you know, he's got some explaining to do. A couple of movie reviews.
Bobby does, not me.
Oh, okay. A couple of movie reviews, and Will Ferrell's doing a podcast, but it's Ron Burgundy who's inhabited his body. We'll get to all that coming up.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 9720.
You know, sometimes it's hard to figure out why you have people in your dreams that aren't a part of your life and you never think about them, really. I woke up last night about, I don't know, 3 a.m. I usually get up at 4. And I had just realized I'd remembered I just had a dream about Tim Gunn.
Mm. Wow.
Tim Gunn, the fashion designer.
Yep.
I couldn't remember why. I don't know what happened. I just knew I just had a dream about Tim Gunn.
It must be the new jeans.
That's what I was going to say.
Oh, there you go. Look at you guys interpreting dreams.
We were talking about jeans dream all
analysis.
Day yesterday.
Dream analysis.
Yeah, but wear those jeans on the couch.
All the fashion people that Steve could have picked out, though.
Tim.
Well, you know what I think part of it is? There's a kid show, Sophia the Princess.
Yep, I know Sophia.
And he's a voice. And so when I was with Abigail on Monday, we watched Sophia. And I just wonder if it stuck somewhere in my head and started rattling around. And went, Tim Gunn, you're up.
Now, did you recognize Tim Gunn's voice?
Oh, I know Tim Gunn.
No, but I mean in the Sophia project where you're like, hey, that's
absolutely.
Tim Gunn.
Absolutely. As close as I am to Tim Gunn, are you kidding me?
He's got a very distinctive voice.
Yes, he does. All right, on to other things.
I'm often frightened by when I wake up from dreams. It terrifies me of what's going on inside of my head that I don't even know about.
Isn't it weird? It's just bizarre. Like the one time I had a dream about Regis in a kayak with the Pope. I mean, come on. That doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
Bobby Moynihan, what's it going to be?
This was going to be a lovely evening with Bobby Moynihan at the SNL exhibit at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Q&A with you.
Q&A with me. Hard-hitting questions from me. And yesterday afternoon, Bobby canceled at the last minute. My understanding is that something came up. I don't know what.
Oh, I thought he was sick. We don't know then, huh?
No, I don't think he was sick.
That's a weird deal.
I never got any word that he was sick. It was that some commitment or something happened.
Well, we hope he's okay.
And now, Dean, does he cancel direct with you or does he go through people?
No, he did not call me yet at all. although he did include me in some tweets yesterday, saying that he was sorry that he had to cancel. There's been no reschedule. It was a sold-out event at the museum.
Well, that's awkward.
So all the money is going to be refunded to people, but, I mean, a lot of people, including myself, was looking forward to it. And now it's not going to happen. So they're saying that they're going to try to reschedule it before the exhibit closes at the museum on my birthday. Please, nobody make a special notation that it's March 31st. So we'll see if that gets rescheduled.
Wait, isn't that your birthday? That is your birthday, right?
March. Yes, yeah.
Well, I wish you had brought it
and
up.
And the crazy thing is he canceled, Bobby canceled on his own birthday. It was his birthday yesterday.
Maybe that, yeah.
Because when I looked him up, because I needed a refresher of who he was, and I saw him, I was shocked to find out he's 2 years younger than me.
Wow.
He looks older than me, I think.
Lived an interesting life.
Maybe he wants to reschedule actually on my birthday to throw a big birthday surprise for me.
Did he cancel as a birthday present to himself? It was really cold. He didn't want to fly here?
Maybe. So I was told that at first he said it was because of the polar vortex, and then somebody told him it's going to be 50 degrees on Saturday.
Yeah, tough break.
They have to come up with a different excuse.
All right, so Beyonce giving away tickets, Jay-Z giving away tickets for the rest of their life?
It's a contest where you could win tickets to Beyonce, Jay-Z concerts for life. Or at least 30 years if you read the official rules on this. They presume you're not going to live more than 30 years.
I believe this contest has already eliminated me. Explain what it is.
Well, it's a contest where you have to change your eating style to a vegan lifestyle.
I'm out.
You have to show that you've become vegan.
Out.
Or that you've added vegan elements to your daily eating habit.
Still out.
It's introducing some sort of plant-based diet that their trainer is involved in. So how I read the rules very carefully. It doesn't explain, Steve, how this is enforced in any way.
What, are you going to come to my house and see what I eat?
Right. They're not going to come and look in your refrigerator. So I say eat as many burgers as you want. Right.
Well, and they do say in it, they don't expect you to go 24/7 vegan. Yeah. You're just supposed to make an attempt.
Well, you know what they're going to do. They're going to get all the people that claim they're doing it, and they're going to do a random draw, and somebody's going to win.
Right.
It caused a lot of funny memes to be put out there of famous sitcoms and whatnot where celebrities are trying to eat vegetables. It's very funny.
No. Nice. Anything to review?
Yes. Gina Rodriguez, who we know Chicago's own.
Delightful.
From Jane the Virgin.
Simply delightful.
Simply delightful. Trying to harden up her image a little bit with this new movie called Miss Bala. In which she plays a makeup artist who goes to Tijuana, Mexico to celebrate with a friend down there, a friend who at a party goes missing. And, of course, she has to, try to find her friend. But in the meantime, she gets caught up in the war between drug officials and a Mexican drug cartel.
Wow.
And all hands on deck.
She pulled it off?
Is all I can say without giving away too much info. It is, it's a stylish movie. It's a good-looking movie. I'm happy to see her doing something out of her comfort zone. It's kind of an average movie. It's not bad in any way at all. It's just kind of an average
movie. You've seen it all before.
You have seen it all before, and I gave it a Dean's List C. Here's the movie that you want to go see, if you can find it, because it's not in a lot of theaters. It's called They Shall Not Grow Old. It's a documentary put together by Peter Jackson of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And what he did was take 100-year-old World War I footage, this scratchy black and white tattered footage that occasionally you see, and he has completely beautifully restored it to color video, three-dimensional video in some theaters. And I cannot tell you how much humanity it brings to seeing these films when you see these young kids fighting, with cannons in some cases. This very antiquated, World War I footage, but in perfect colorized dimensional amazing. Video. It breaks. It's fascinating to see it, but it also breaks your heart when you see these young kids, teenagers in some cases, what it looks like, that are wounded, mangled.
Awful.
It's awful to see, but it's an amazing documentary. They Shall Not Grow Old.
But again, we don't know where it's going to be seen.
It's in a few theaters. It's in a handful of theaters, which for the life of me, I still don't understand why they do that. I don't know why. These days, especially because films are delivered to theaters digitally. It's not like a big can of film has to be delivered to a theater.
Right.
They can just download these movies and show them in theaters. Why they don't do that once or, you know, in all the theaters, once a day, twice a day, something, so people all over the area can see things.
That's a great point.
Is beyond me.
And before I let you go, the Ron Burgundy podcast is out and available soon. The trailer is up on the Ron Burgundy Twitter handle, at Burgundy Podcast. This looks like very important programming.
This is it's Ron Burgundy from the Anchorman movie interviewing people, podcast style, and asking hard-hitting questions like, are you upset you can't fly? I think you should ask whoever your guest is, are you upset you can't fly?
That's a great question. Completely relevant.
Do you know Pete Rose because he owes me money?
This is another great question.
So these are the types of questions Ron Burgundy asks in this.
Is Bill Curtis announcing, doing the announcer thing in this?
You know what? I haven't heard if Bill Curtis is involved in this. He certainly should be. But it'll be available for download starting February 7th.
You and I have a mutual friend, not involved with Moron Entertainment, who reached out to Bill Curtis and had asked Bill Curtis about getting involved in something. And Bill Curtis's quote was, I got too much crap going on.
I've got too much crap going on right now. This is the Decades Channel.
I love Curtis. He's the best.
He is.
All right, man. Thanks.
Have a good weekend.
That's Dean. He'll be on Sunday.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I'd use a phrase arguably, but I'm not even sure it's an argument, because Tony Preckwinkle, by most accounts, is the front runner in the run for mayor. There are 411 people who want to be mayor, and the Cook County Board president is top of mind for just about everybody. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
Nice to see you, as always. You know, 4 years ago, I remember us talking about the possibility of you running for mayor. You chose not to do it then. So what was the tipping point now? Why now?
You know, I think Chicago's at a crossroads. I usually say that we have a beautiful city with great neighborhoods and you know, wonderful opportunities, but some real challenges. And frankly, I think those challenges are no more evident than a couple weeks ago when we found that there were three court cases that I found profoundly troubling and indicative of some of the challenges we face. The first three officers who were charged with covering up Laquan McDonald's murder, the circumstances around his murder, were acquitted. Jason Van Dyke, who'd been found guilty by a jury of his peers, was given 81 months by a judge, in the same month that the murder of Hydea Pendleton got 84 years for her murder. You know, and that is indicative to me of some of the justice challenges that we face. And there are clearly other challenges. You know, when I was alderman, I worked very hard to try to improve our public schools in our community. I worked with community residents, not just on schools, but also around community redevelopment. We worked with large and small developers. We worked with the CHA to rebuild the neighborhoods in my ward that had been struggling. And we built 1,500 units of housing. And I worked with neighborhood residents around public safety issues.
So you're drawn. This time more than ever, you feel a draw to the job. This is the need. And
the
you
challenges.
Want to fill the need. All right, now let's talk about this, because so much to dive into there. But I know in the past you've talked about civilian oversight of the police department. But I also know that you've talked about a mayor's office of criminal justice. How would those two tie together?
Well, you know, we have a Justice Advisory Council in the county, and it's the kind of locus not just of our public policy, but grant administration and our engagement with stakeholders. Mm-hmm. And I see an Office of Criminal Justice in the mayor's office as having a similar function. And I think it's really important that this is the first time in this budget that the city of Chicago has invested in, I think they call it the Office of Violence Prevention or something like that. But New York and Los Angeles have had similar offices for a very long time. And as you're aware, Chicago has more murders than New York and Los Angeles combined, and one of the factors that I believe contributes to their lower levels of violence is the investments that they've made over time in community-based organizations that are working on violence prevention, anti-recidivism efforts, and restorative justice.
And would the Civilian Oversight Board be above the mayor's office, or work hand-in-hand, or how do
work hand-in-hand?
Okay.
And let me just say, The Office of Criminal Justice in the mayor's office would perform a similar function, as I said, to the Justice Advisory Council in the county, dispersing grants, bringing stakeholders together, being the locus of public policy.
Okay. Let's talk, President Preckwinkle, let's talk about other stories that have been in the news recently. The arrest of Alderman Ed Burke, of course, the Danny Solis indictment. But the overwhelming sort of corruption that is happening right now in city council. For you, you have been a part of that council, and your name has been attached with some fundraising with Alderman Ed Burke, and you, of course, have worked with Alderman Solis in the past. How would you, as mayor, deal with corruption that is happening at city council?
Well, that's a great question. Let me just say, you know, I served with Ed Burke for 19 years. We're neither friends or allies. Actually, the person he's endorsed in this race is Gary Chico. You know, I've returned all the money that was raised at that fundraiser, and it'll be reported in my first quarter report. And I've taken the strongest position, you know, against Ed Burke. I said he should resign as chairman of the Finance Committee. He should resign as committeeman and alderman of the 14th Ward. I stripped him of his judicial slating chairmanship in the party. And I said we should ban outside employment for every city elected official. You know, I was elected alderman in 1991. I haven't had an outside job since then. I've had my public job, whether it was alderman or president of the county.
Certainly, you know, would thin the ranks, right, if you said no outside income?
I don't know if it's in the ranks, but it's surely the right thing to do. I mean, it's important that people believe that their elected officials are serving them, that is the constituents, and not their clients. And the best way to do that is to say you can have no outside employment.
Right. Yeah,
that's really critical. And, you know, we have to make it clear that your first obligation is to the people who elected you and the people that you serve.
We're going to take a quick break. Come back on the other side of this. I want to talk to you about the aldermanic prerogative, the power of the alderman in the city, and what you might do about that as a mayor as well, because that's part and parcel of the problem.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Barry Brewer standing by. Committee of Barry Brewer standing by in the PPG, pardon me, Paints Green Room. Come down after the 9 o'clock news. Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle's here, running for mayor. And we're talking about aldermanic prerogative before. I've always believed that if you're going to be the mayor of the city of Chicago, you've got to be able to control the aldermen. And it's not just overseeing the aldermen. That's certainly been a mess, as Justin pointed out recently. How do you feel about aldermanic prerogative?
Well, first, let me just say that I hope to work with the members of the city council. You know, we've had some challenges in the past around fairly autocratic mayors, and I think that's not in the public interest. But let me just say, you know, the critical issue, it seems to me, is that the mayor has a vision for the city. And my vision for the city is, as I said, trying to strengthen our public schools, because we can't have strong neighborhoods unless we have good public schools in all of our communities. And right now, you can pretty much determine the quality of the education you can get by the zip code you live in.
Right.
So that's a real challenge. There has to be opportunity in all of our neighborhoods, and that starts with good public schools. And we have to invest in communities that have been struggling. That's what I did when I was alderman. And if we don't do that, we can't have a strong city. We can't have a world-class city if we don't have strong neighborhoods, healthy neighborhoods. And we've got to address the violence that plagues so many of our communities. You know, we've got 77 community areas. 15 of them have 70% of the shootings. So we've got to focus on those communities in a holistic way, not just flood them with police officers. I'm not suggesting that. We need to address the high levels of unemployment, the low levels of educational attainment, the under-resourced schools, the fact that they're food deserts. And unless we take that kind of holistic, comprehensive approach to the communities that are challenged not just by violence but all these other issues, we're not going to make a dent in the violence. And I think those are, you know, the mayor has to say, here's the direction we're going, and try to build a coalition to support that and move ahead.
President Preckwinkle, pensions obviously going to be a big issue, the fiscal cliff coming up here in 2020. I'm interested because a lot of the candidates are talking about finding new revenue streams. You, as Cook County Board President, have also gone through this and actually brought forth a soda tax, and I know that's not what you call it, but tried with a new revenue stream, which had a lot of backlash. How do you see the idea of trying to fix the pension crisis, but at the same time trying to generate new revenue?
Well, let me just say, when I came into office in 2010, we had a $487 million gap to close in the budget. And I brought all the separately elected officials in, and there are 11 in the county, 11 separately elected. And I said, this is going to be shared sacrifice. And so we made 15% cuts in all of the budgets. We refinance some of our debt. We looked for other efficiencies beyond the 15% cuts. So this is, there's no silver bullet. There's no magic solution to this. It's a lot of hard work and digging. And frankly, it wasn't until I really got into the job, got sworn in, and could kind of go through the budget with staff that we figured out how we were going to address the challenge. But we've faced difficult challenges in the city before, and surely we've faced difficult fiscal challenges in the county, and we figured out how to address them. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to be painful, and as I said, it's going to be shared sacrifice.
City's got a $100 million workman's comp program. The TIF districts have always been, not compromised, that's not fair, but not exactly run efficiently. Have you guys done the math in your campaign on how much you could save in those two areas for the pension problem?
Well, the county has about 22,000 employees. We spent $20 million on workman's comp. The city has about 33,000 employees, and it spends $100 million on workman's comp.
So clearly, math doesn't work.
So clearly there's some challenges there. On the TIF side, you know, we have this is the TIF district, Tax Increment Financing District, was supposed to be an economic development tool for communities that were struggling.
Right.
But some of the most valuable real estate in the city is now in TIF districts, and 31% of our property taxes are in these sequestered TIF districts. So clearly we need TIF reform. And we have to unwind some TIFs, we have to declare TIF surpluses, and we have to be very careful about establishing new TIFs, given, as I said, that already 31% of our property tax revenue is sequestered in these TIF districts. This is bad planning, it's bad fiscal management, and we have to address it. And as I said, I think there's a real challenge in designating to new TIFs going forward, given so much of our revenue is already designated.
Yeah, standard needs to be raised and needs to be held to.
Yeah, this is supposed to be a but-for instrument. But sure. For the TIF, development wouldn't take place.
Right. We mentioned justice at the beginning of this interview, and I want to get your thoughts on, you know, the consent decree today is done. We're ready to go. Judges said it's ready to go. Let's begin. A lot happened around Laquan McDonald when it comes to fracturing the police department and minority communities' relations. As mayor, how do you bring those two together? How do you fix what obviously seems to be somewhat broken?
I wouldn't say that the Laquan McDonald case fractured police community relations. It just reflected the fractures that were already there. You know what I mean? So I've talked about three things in terms of the police department. You know, first, I think it's really important that people have confidence in their criminal justice system and have confidence in the police. And there are three ways in which I think we can increase confidence. One is to have better training of our police officers. You know, we're blessed that Barack Obama decided to look at our policies and procedures in the police department and through his Justice Department before he left office. And they kind of gave us a roadmap of how we could move forward. More training, investing in the professional development of our police. You know, any effective organization invests in its employees in terms of professional development. And we need a lot more of that, particularly around crisis intervention training and de-escalation strategies. The second thing is we need better supervision. You know, the national standard is one sergeant for every 8 officers on the street, and we have some districts and there's one sergeant for every 30 officers. So clearly we need to have, it's hard to have an effective workforce when people aren't properly supervised. And we have to have a more effective police department as well. So the national average for closures for murder, that is somebody's charged, you know, is about 2/3 of the murder cases. But in the city of Chicago, it's less than 20%. It's, you know, depending on who you talk to, it's 18 or 19%. Well, if people have no confidence that the police are going to look for the murderer of their son, their brother, their uncle, their neighbor, I think there's a temptation in some quarters to seek revenge or retaliation on your own. So there's a domino effect. And that's an incredible challenge. If people have no confidence that the police are going to solve crimes, they have no confidence in the police. We have to figure out how we can invest in our police officers and also invest in police community relations. When I was alderman, there was a lot invested early on in the community policing. And over time, those investments have been dramatically reduced. And I would go, or my staff would go, to beat meetings. And it was an opportunity for community residents to interact and get to know their police officers, and police officers get to know the communities that they were policing. And I think that's a really good model, and we've moved away from it in ways that I find disturbing and unhelpful. So, you know, better training, investing in our training of our officers, better supervision, focusing on trying to deal with the violent crime, particularly the murders and shootings. By the way, the closure rate for shootings is less than 10%. And then investing in police community relations through beat meetings, I think, are some of the ways in which we have to address the violence. But again, you know, we have to look at the communities in which most of the violence takes place and address the challenges they face holistically. And it can't be just a police response. It has to be this more comprehensive view of how we're going to strengthen those communities and serve the people who live in them, particularly with employment services. And if we can support businesses in the community, we ought to do that. This week I talked about the Neighborhood Opportunity Fund and ways in which we could make that more effective. This is a program that gives grants to small and medium-sized businesses in our communities. How we can make it more effective? Well, we can say we'll give you the money up front instead of having you pay it out of your pocket and then get reimbursed, because the whole problem is access to capital. And the Chicago Microlending Institute, I propose that we triple our investments there. These are small loans, so a grant program and a small loan program is a way to support neighborhood businesses and strengthen our communities.
And that's a way to help keep the economic engine parts of the city that are working at a higher level. Justin, last word for now.
I have to ask. I mean, you've worked with as an alderman, and there are not a lot of people who are running for this office that have had that experience. You worked with Mayor Daley. You worked alongside Rahm Emanuel. What experience from those experiences? How does that make you a better candidate?
Well, I was a local elected official for 19 years and worked very closely with my community residents and all the actors, whether it was the public schools or the police or the public housing authority. And, you know, I think those experiences were very helpful to me in terms of how you have to, as a local elected official, relate to community residents and to neighborhoods. And I've spent the last 8 years running the second largest county in the country, managing a quite substantial budget and a considerable workforce. So I think the combination of my experience as a local elected official and my experience in managing government, plus the vision that I shared earlier, make me uniquely qualified for this job.
I know that we'll talk again, but there, amongst all the text, there's one question that's come up multiple times, and I'll just have you finish with this, if you don't mind, for now. And that is, when you became Cook County Board President, you said, I'm going to take these redundant offices in Cook County, we're going to eliminate them to the best of our ability, we're going to cut them down. That goes to the problem in city government as well. Redundant offices, jobs, structure, the money in the wrong places. How successful have you been on the county basis?
Well, we've closed budget gaps of more than $2 billion. We've made cuts of $850 million. We reduced our workforce by 13% and our indebtedness by 11%. So I think that's a pretty impressive record.
We will do this again. You've got 14 other meetings and assemblies and places to go today, but I appreciate you coming over.
Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
That is Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
You know, we give Chance the Rapper a lot of credit for all he's done for Chicago and the money he's given, and you know, CPS. And I got a guy in studio that you need to know if you don't know him already. Not only is he fall down funny, he's got a special coming up, and he wants to raise $1 million, and he's going to give it to CPS schools. Barry Brewer.
Yes, thanks.
Nice to see you.
Thank you for having me.
Welcome home.
Thank you, man. I'm glad to be home.
You got that LA nonsense out of your system? Right? Come back?
I'm trying to keep the weather in my system.
Did you? How long have you been in town this week?
I've been here all week since Monday.
Oh, I bet you liked Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh,
didn't you?
That was the best. Yes.
Yeah, because you're out in LA. Your blood gets thin fast.
Oh my God, it does. It's
how cold were you? Were you meat freezer cold the last 2 days?
Oh, just instantly. As soon as I walked to the car, it's like you don't forget. And people's like, you know, you from Chicago. You spoke like, if you get shot once, it hurts the second time. It's bad. And you can't say, oh, you got shot once, so the second one, it should not pin.
Right,
like, cold
right.
is cold.
Yeah,
like, no
shot
matter.
Is shot.
Yeah, like, if somebody from the North Pole came here, they'd be like, oh, no. You know what I mean?
Cold,
yeah, so it's cold.
It's cold for professionals this week. We didn't need this.
This is too cold. I know. It just stopped the whole city. Like, nobody wanted to do nothing. You had to go shopping.
It was bizarre.
It was bizarre.
There was nobody on the street.
Man, I was just in the house. It was just in the house.
And Monday, 50 degrees, which proves Mother Nature's on crack.
Yes.
I mean, it's just insane.
It's terrible.
100-degree difference between 2 days ago and this coming month.
You know, the crime changed. People wasn't even robbing people with guns. They was robbing them with buckets of water.
I'll throw it at you?
Yeah, I put this water on you. Like, please, man, I'll give you everything like that.
All right, so give me a little background on the special. So the special is going to be out on February 19th.
Yes, February 19th.
But you can
19th.
Pre-order it now.
You can pre-order it right now, iTunes.
Well,
Chicago
why wouldn't
Home.
I do that? What's the matter with me? Why wouldn't I do that today?
Why wouldn't you do it today? Don't miss out on a great time to laugh, and it's going towards a good cause. So we're making the world laugh, and we're helping our future at the same time.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And your wife thinks she's smarter than you because she has a PhD in education.
She has all the degrees.
Look what you're doing.
You make people laugh for a living.
It's okay.
You grew up in Chicago, the south side of Chicago. You
yes.
live in L.A. now. I'm always amazed. Chicagoans seem to always have a leg up in L.A., and there's a community there. There's a lot of stand-ups who are
yes.
from Chicago. There. And like, do you know, does it help you to be from Chicago, being now living in L.A.?
I think far as just the grind of Chicago, so the grit, so far as just the funny and the level of funny I believe that you get being in Chicago, I definitely think that helps. And just a certain level of ground. You know, just the things I've learned here, I definitely think that helps in L.A. because it's a whirlwind. You know what I mean? It's a lot going on. So in regards to the connections, not so much.
But it's a funny, that's the thing, right? Because this is the funniest town in America. I'll put it up against anywhere. And
yes.
I've been thrown out of
New
a lot
York
of places.
New York will try to argue you, but well, I
dude,
agree with you.
I worked in New York. I've been thrown out of a lot of America's finest cities.
Yes.
But this is home, and this is a funny city. And you know this.
We
you
are.
Know, L.A., as the A-list comedy talent, because everybody moved there.
For the,
you don't
yes.
grow them in L.A.
No, you,
you
don't.
Grow up in L.A., you're not funny.
Nope, you're right. That's really sad.
Right? That's
but
all I'm saying.
It's true, though.
Right.
I agree. Most people migrated. The greats have came from all over to
that's
come
right.
there. And Chicago definitely is known for comedy. And I can say that, like most, I would say 90, 95% of all the comics I know here, it's funny. Like, funny.
Right,
like,
right,
you
right.
can go in any comedy club, a little hole in the wall, and you'd be like, man, this is amazing.
I'm trying to think of anybody that I know, that I've worked with, that I love, that inspired me, that I think is fun, that grew up in L.A. I can't think of one person.
No. And it's kind of like a melting pot. Everybody moves from everywhere, and it's a lot of Chicago.
But you got nothing to be funny about in L.A. L.A., the weather's always good. The traffic sucks. Okay, now what do you got? You got the traffic sucks. You got nothing else.
I'll argue Aaron and Sarah Foster are very funny to me. And
they're from L.A.?
There. Yeah.
Oh.
David Foster's daughters.
There's two.
Okay.
Is that the music producer?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
They there's do stand-up?
Two. Yeah.
Well, not quite
they're just
stand-up.
Funny.
They're
comedy.
Oh, I thought we were talking about stand-up. Hell no.
Okay.
No, they're fine. They're actors.
Yeah.
Comedic actors. Like,
yeah, comedic actors.
Oh, yes, a lot of actors there.
I wonder, too, because I feel like Chicago has such a rich history, especially the south side of Chicago when it comes
yes.
to comedians.
Yes.
I think of Bernie Mac, of
yes,
course.
Yes, definitely.
And even some of the people now who are succeeding, Lil Rel and
Lil
others.
Rel, yes.
So, but there does seem to be. Do you pay attention to who came before you and how they sort of paved the way for younger comics in Chicago?
Yes, I've paid attention very much so because a lot of the doors and just the understanding to move to LA and why you move to LA or New York or what's the difference and what you're looking to do ultimately and where you should navigate was definitely important. How Bernie Mac went from stand up to television to film, you know, so those people and how they navigated being from the inner city and trying to be mainstream. What was the subject matter is how they approached their stand up. You know what I mean?
Right.
As I've approach. This is my debut stand-up special. I've been doing stand-up for 15 years, going on 16. And
you
seeing,
put your dues in.
Yes,
you paid them.
I paid my dues. I'm
that's
still right. paying them.
Well, that never ends, but I mean, it's time.
Yes, I appreciate it. And it feels like it's happening right now. It really does, and I believe it. But just seeing the way they navigate it, so they definitely given me somewhat of a blueprint to
yeah,
move forward.
That's important, yeah.
Can you hang around a second? You got a better offer to do something else.
I can hang,
hang.
Oh yeah, I can hang.
Okay, I mean,
I'd like
I thought maybe you got a call or
no,
something.
No. Let's hang.
Big
for,
shot, LA.
For
I thought
the people,
maybe
they're,
come.
They're not watching.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
If you're not watching on CLTV or the stream, Barry's holding his phone in his hand, poised. But nothing is happening. Like he's
live.
Oh, I thought
you going Facebook live?
Facebook
yeah, Facebook live.
You're Facebook live.
And then Pete is Facebook living.
Oh,
and then there's the CLTV stream.
Oh, yeah, because of my age,
AM radio.
My age, I got MySpace live, but I had to fax it. So
you faxed.
It's
back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Barry Brewer's here. One of the funniest guys you're ever going to see on stage. You can see him in his own special. Let's plug that special, because you're trying to raise $1 million for CPS, and the more people who get it, here's the deal. You pre-order now on iTunes.
Yes.
And then you put something in your calendar for like the 18th. You go, tomorrow I got to order 3 or 4 copies more for my friends, my neighbors, my loved ones. You know, because you got to take care of other people. It's
That's
ridiculously
true.
Reasonable. Frankly, I think it's underpriced.
Thank
and
you.
Then all the money is going to go to CPS schools. So yes. What do we need to do to pre-order first?
Pre-order, go to the iTunes store.
Right.
And make sure you get the movie Chicago, I'm Home. Barry Brewer it has the trailer there. You can get a sneak peek and what you're going to get. And also you can go on YouTube and see some more of the trailer, some other excerpts of the special to just get a little more of what you're going to get.
Where'd you shoot it?
I shot it at the Studebaker Theater on 4th and Michigan.
Nice.
Came home and start where it all started.
Now, how do you get an audience for that? I'm sorry. I'm just curious. Is that a hand-picked audience?
Yeah, well, I went to my followers and fans and said, hey, I'm doing this. And I also had a musical guest, Molly Music, which is a great artist that has a huge following here in Chicago. And we sold out 2 shows. It was a theater seats like 750 people.
Awesome.
So it was.
That's an interesting thing too, right? Because you wear the same clothes. You know, you got the backup outfit for the second
yes,
show.
Yes, yes.
I had the same shirt.
I had 2 shirts of the same.
Going to go change into the new pants, the new shirt that just look like the old pants and the old shirt.
That's how you have to do it.
But then when you cut it together. That's what I always thought. How do you do that where you cut it together?
So you find the best of the two.
Right, but is it difficult to do that? Because
No.
So you know some things clicked or didn't, and then maybe they popped for the second show.
Exactly, because the second show was definitely more free.
Sure.
You know.
Because we got one.
Yeah, we got
that.
Now
let's go have fun.
Let's go have fun now.
Yeah,
you have what you want to do. Now you can just work it out.
There
do
it
whatever
is.
You want. Freestyle on some stuff if you wanted to elaborate. You know, sometimes I came up with some stuff on stage in the moment of the taping that made the special. That was brilliant. I shouldn't say. I don't know.
Like that.
Can I say
it was brilliant.
Stop short.
I call it the gift working. You know what I mean? When you are gifted and it's working and you're out of mind, like you're not conscious of it.
Right. Meanwhile, in a control room, there's producers and directors cursing and screaming.
Exactly.
At it's not in the show.
Exactly. That's exactly what they're saying, because they have of what like how to lighten and stuff. So when I start going off on a tangent, everybody's freaking out at that point.
Right. Did the gift work in both of them, or just was that the second one where your gift?
The gift worked in both of them. It's just that the second one, I allow myself to. I had did what I said I was going to do, so I just allow myself to, just like a regular comedy club, just
fly.
To kind of be in the moment.
There
you
go.
Mess with some people in the audience, which I kept on the special. There was a lady not laughing, or it looked like she wasn't laughing, and I was just like, okay, you don't know me, obviously. So I just stopped. I was like, I know we're taping, but I gave her some attention.
And that's funny, too, because you can have the whole room crying. They're falling out of their seats, but you see the one person that's not laughing.
And it bothers your life.
You go, now you're mine.
I have to give you special attention, because obviously
you must love me, or none of us are going home.
I have to conquer you. Exactly. That's exactly the case.
Well, you know, no one expects you to give money back to CPS. I mean, you're a stand-up comedian. You're making it. So
yes.
So why are you giving money back to the schools in Chicago?
Well, I believe that's where I started. I believe CPS, I'm a product of CPS, and that's what it's about. I believe in life, that's what it's about. I just believe you reap what you sow. So anytime I'm fortunate, I think that's just the thing to do.
What was it about growing up in Chicago and attending Chicago public schools that helped you get where you're at?
Oh, man. And the reason I'm giving back is because I remember the lack of resources, the lack of things to do. Like, I didn't know that this was possible where I'm sitting today. And I would like younger children to know, hey, anything you want to be, you can do. And I'm a testament to that. Thank you so much. So growing up in Chicago public schools was... Well, school, you know, I'll talk about in my stand-up growing up poor, but I didn't know how poor I was, because everybody next to me was poor. I didn't know it was not normal to grow up next to a crackhead, next door to a crackhead.
Sure.
I thought that was normal, you know what I mean? So now growing up and seeing the world, it's like, wow, let me share with the future that life can be better.
But what kept you between the white lines? What kept you, not getting into trouble?
It was several things. It was sports. It was church.
Okay.
In Englewood, my church is off of 65th and Ashland, where I went to church at. And they had a lot of programs.
Was it a pastor or a relative, one person?
It was the whole youth. We had a lot of young people, and they did a lot of activities.
Cool.
And that's why I think activities are really important for the youth, because it gives you something to put your focus on and be excited about, and it kind of keeps you... That's what kept me out of the streets. That's why I never gangbang. I had some music. I was a musician, which I played the piano in my special. I got to play the saxophone growing up for like 7 years. The church had all these sports, basketball. So all these activities So that made church exciting. I'm like, oh, man, I can't wait to go to church.
You know, Sandberg, I've told you the story before, but that's why, you know, I never should have given up the saxophone. Barry, you don't know this, but because you weren't there. But why would you have been? But I was playing the saxophone in fifth grade, and I wanted to keep playing. And the woman put me in the music closet because she got a call on her phone in the room. She had a phone in the room. She gets a call on her phone in the room. I go in the music closet, and I'm like, Mary had a little, over and over again. I think, well, it's been a long time. And I go to the door. Door's locked from the outside. I can't get out of the music closet. She went to lunch.
Yeah.
No. She left me in the music closet. I was so traumatized, I gave up the saxophone.
Oh, she's terrible.
I could
terrible.
Be Kenny G with better hair.
You sure could have been. It's
life
never too late.
Storm. Yeah, it is, actually.
No, it's
no,
not.
No, I just got the word it is.
I just got the word. They just emailed me.
They just texted me a second ago and said it's too late.
It's over. Don't look back. No.
Sandberg, last word.
Who took you to church? Who got you there in the first
my
place?
Grandma and granddad came and asked my mom could they take me to church when I was like 3 or 4 years
cool
old.
How cool is that?
So my granddad rested, so he passed when I was 13, but he came and got me faithfully every Friday after school and kept me to Sunday evening.
That's great.
Oh, that's a
that's great story. Yeah. All right, you got a watch party, too, we want to talk
have
about.
Have a watch party February 22nd at Dyer High School, which is one of the recipients of the proceeds that's coming from the special. It's a free screening to see this special. Just need to go RSVP at my website, BarryBrewerComedy.com. And you can go. It's free screening. Just RSVP. It's going to be a great time. It'll be some free food, popcorn, things like that there. And it'll be a fun time to get the Q&A, ask questions. And some of the students will be there from the school and parents and so forth.
You could throw popcorn, too. So.
How about
probably,
that?
That probably won't be.
You know, a lot of times we just ask. A lot of times we just ask for money, and we ask you for money. It's for a good reason. But now we're asking for money, but you get to laugh. You get paid off. You're gonna be laughing. You're gonna be having a good time. You're gonna be talking to people about your good friend Barry Brewer.
Yes,
you get to tell people I was your best friend. You ran into him here at 303 East Wacker.
Yes,
make up anything you want. Just buy the special. Pre-sale right now.
On iTunes right now, pre-sale, and on the 19th, if you're not an Apple user, it'll be on all platforms, Amazon, Google Play, DirecTV On Demand, Comcast On Demand, on the 19th. But pre-order, I always encourage that because that the more pre-orders I get, iTunes will push me to the recommendation page, which will be better for our future. So you get to laugh, and you're helping the world become a better place.
Trying to raise $1 million for CPS schools. You know what? You're a good man.
Thank you.
It's an honor to have you on the show.
I appreciate you.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you.
All right, we need another quick break. Back with the headlines in a moment, and 720 WGN. Dave, I forgot to ask you this. Aren't you friends with the Kansas City Chiefs radio play-by-play man?
Woo, woo, woo. You know it, bro.
Here's why. I can't help but walk around and say, touchdown, Kansas City!
Traitor!
I don't care about the team. I care about Patrick Mahomes and Mitch Holtz. And by the way, if they're in town, they can stay with me.
Welcome to my sleepover.
I like great broadcasters. That's why I like you, Dave.
Thank you, Steve.
I don't like you personally. I just love you as a professional.
You've made that abundantly clear.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Fine work at Super Joe. He's available for birthday parties and bar mitzvahs if you need an intro.
There was a texter earlier. Yeah, a texter earlier today said, when is Super Joe going to get his own segment? He's fantastic.
I think fantastic seems like a stretch.
I'm guessing it could be his mom or his aunt.
Either way, it's fine.
Later, guys. I'm off to bigger and better things.
You can't imagine that either. Happy birthday to my daughter, Amy Cochran.
Happy
tomorrow is her birthday.
Happy birthday.
I've
She's
known her most
new
of her life.
Home owner.
Celebrates with a new home.
New homeowner. And her birthday's tomorrow. And she is, as you guys all know, you've met her, the nicest human being on the planet.
She is nice. That's why she needs to take a course from me on how to kick people out of your house.
I thought we were going with wristbands.
Wristbands. Yeah, we could do that.
This is the Thanksgiving reveal from Sandberg, where everyone had a slotted time to get out.
Yes.
But I said wristbands that light up when you should get out would be a reminder.
Yeah, and that would take off the conflict. Right. But like Justin...
Like waiting for a table at the Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah.
Oh, the buzzer. Oh,
just
not
a taser.
A
taser would work, too. Yeah.
Taser.
I like the taser, Mayor. That's a great idea.
I found out the hard way on this.
The party's over, taser. Yeah, Justin, happy birthday, Amy. Love you. And the halftime performer on Sunday, we haven't talked much about this, Maroon 5.
Right.
They're losing money to appear at the Super Bowl.
Boo.
And nobody even cares that they're going to be in it. Do you guys
money.
Care?
No.
I like Maroon 5.
I like Maroon 5 too.
I mean, I
like
care.
Adam Levine.
I do not like
I
Maroon
don't like
5.
Him. Oh, I love She Will Be Loved. That's one of my favorites.
Who's singing the national anthem?
I pulled a muscle trying to sing like Adam Levine. He's got a very high voice.
He does, yeah.
Who is singing the anthem? I don't know.
It's Gladys Knight.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, is Pete in there?
Pete,
give me a few hot prop bets for the last segment before we go.
The Justin saying, I don't like Miriam Bag. I believe he will be singing.
And I believe
singing.
That's exactly how you said
yes.
it.
I don't like it. He will be singing along. I'm going to ask Miles to document his father singing during the halftime show at home.
Adam Levine, as you know, is not only a huge rock star, he's a great guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't be surprised if he does a reprise of his version of Purple Rain, which is famous on your internets, all of them. He did it at Howard Stern's 60th birthday party. Mm. And you know what the kids like to say? Shredded.
Shredded.
Yeah.
Well, see, I would watch that.
But anyway,
I bet you guys are all going to enjoy it.
Yeah, of course you are.
Even though you're going to complain.
Miles Join Sandberg and me on the Maroon 5 train. Yeah, come on, you people.
Yeah, I like Maroon 5.
Thank you, Dave. Dave's on board.
I've been on board.
They want some kind of obscure, cool person. And that's not... They need an American Idol every man.
I only want obscure cool.
Heck with that. I want Up With People to come
that's
back.
Exactly.
Yeah, up with people.
It's either obscure cool or Up With People.
Up With People and The Clash. That's your dream halftime show.
Why not?
I do like Travis Scott. Travis Scott is performing with Maroon 5.
Well, you can't watch him unless you watch Maroon 5.
Right. I know.
Okay. Maroon 5 is making a charitable donation of $500,000 to Big Brothers Big Sisters, along with not getting paid for the Super Bowl. So.
Is that why they're losing money? Because they're giving money to charity?
Mm-hmm.
So we're supposed to feel... I don't understand. Like that story.
Why are you hating on Maroon 5?
I'm just saying. Like they're like,
what did
not
Adam
making
Levine
any money
because
we're giving it
what
away
did, What did Adam Levine do to you?
Here's my question about the Super Bowl halftime shows.
Yeah.
It's the crowd they bring out onto the field.
Right. I totally agree.
Are those extras? Are they being paid?
Oh, you know, those are execs' kids. That's what
right?
I think.
Right? I mean,
they're coached, right?
They're rehearsed.
Right. They all have placards and little things, and they make...
Well, but you have to have a rehearsal to get them on and off. Can you imagine if you just said, all right, everybody, come on down?
I'm sure Amy and Ross were probably there when you were in Minnesota at the Minnesota Super Bowl, and they got to carry signs out.
Amy would have been three, and Ross was about 6 months.
I always get the vibe. Yeah, Larry Wirt's kids. They were all at
they were grown.
You know, at Super Bowls, dancing on the field.
Yeah, no, it is. It's Big Shot's kids, and it's it makes sense, right? It's got to be heavily rehearsed. They get all that gear. They throw a concert in 18 minutes. Mm-hmm. They put them on the field and they get them off.
In this day and age, after Olympic opening ceremonies and everything the technology provides, I'm less impressed with, it's an 18-minute concert. I'm like, you know what? Michael Jackson did that in 1984. Okay. Great. They can roar.
So what you're saying is, should we do away with the halftime show? Is that the campaign here?
I'm just not a big halftime
show. You would just like a troubadour with an acoustic guitar.
Like, give me Terry Bradshaw doing a couple of highlights.
Yeah. And then Up With People.
Then the Puppy Bowl and Up With People.
Yeah, I'm watching the Puppy Bowl.
Yeah.
Now the Doggy Bowl.
Dog Bowl.
It's a difficult act to follow when you had Prince kill it. You had Bruno Mars kill it.
Prince killed it in the rain.
Exactly. How perfect was Purple Rain in the rain?
My son Miles is in studio now. Miles, do you like Maroon 5?
Kind of.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay, Miles, here's what I'm
And Miles
gonna...
has rock star hair.
Yeah.
Miles does. And Miles is, his artistic taste is off the charts, high end.
But he's a top 40 guy. He consumes the top 40, right?
He is. But I want to know.
By the way, I should say Miles is 11.
Yeah. He's 11.
Shows how advanced he is.
Probably 11 and a half now, right?
CPS today.
His birthday's in August, I think.
Yeah.
July.
Oh, July.
Come on, Mary.
You messed up.
I'm close.
Come on.
So I want a report from you after the Super Bowl, during the halftime show that'll happen at your house. When you're watching, I want to know if your dad sang one bar of any song that gets sung by...
Sang or danced.
Yeah. If he does this, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he'll do it like at least five times.
Yeah. So, see.
All we need is one. If he could sneak video it, that would be fantastic.
That would be amazing. Yes.
That would be an honor.
Do you like the Super Bowl halftime show? You've watched a couple Super Bowls.
Kind of.
Yeah. You're just a kind of guy, huh?
Yeah. Not impressed.
I wonder where he gets it.
Yeah. What if there were, say, 1,000 kids playing video games on the field? Would that be cool?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, look at it. His face
lit up.
Yeah.
What was your question you had?
Okay. I had a question for you. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time discussing if when we get home, we change right away. Just the general population.
Yes.
Most of our listeners all change right when they get home because it's like a reset once you're home and you can relax. And specifically, we were talking about denim. And now that you're back in the denim wearing world,
right.
We wanted to know, when you go home and you sit on that chair and a half and watch, you know, your news channel and take a snooze. Are you in
your news channel? Am I in what?
Are you in the jeans, or do you switch to a comfier pant?
Your soft clothes.
Yes. No, I'd go jeans until I go work out, and then obviously I switch. If you're working out in jeans, that's an issue for chafing.
Not allowed. So
you can snooze. Yeah.
No, I can sleep in regular clothes.
Because Mary Vandeville took a nap in the recliner wearing her jeans. She was able to sleep in jeans.
Yeah, I can do that.
I could not. I can't be in the house in jeans. It's so uncomfortable.
I believe when you hit 50, your world will change.
I think there were a lot of listeners that
When you hit 50, your world will change, and you'll go, I'm too tired to change. Okay. It's whatever.
That's what I said.
That's what she said. Yeah. She was too tired.
And I was only a 10-minute little power nap. Yeah. Then I got up and I changed.
We're just glad you're not sleeping in traffic, Mary.
Thank you. I almost did that day.
We've got to take a break. We'll come back. Bill and Wendy on the way, too, on 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my, my, don't play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
See, I know it. I do like this song.
I'm just amazed that he can sing this high. He's at a Bee Gees octave level. I just don't get it. But I like Maroon 5. Bill, you like Maroon 5?
Yes.
Okay, good call.
Very much.
I know you guys talked about prop bets yesterday.
We did.
Super Bowl. I want to come back and ask you about that before you start your show. Who's on your show today? Your co-host, I mean.
From the WGN TV Morning News.
You couldn't get Adam Hogue?
No, Adam Hogue is in Atlanta.
Oh, because Adam Hogue and Anna Balavall, you both have to say their whole name. You can't just say Anna or Adam.
The whole thing or
Adam
nothing.
Adam Hogue, Anna Balavall.
Nope. Okay. All or nothing.
Anna Balavall, what time will she arrive?
She'll come by around 10:16.
All right.
Scheduled to appear.
Bill, in a moment. Prop bets. I don't know which one of these you talked about from yesterday. How long will it take Gladys Knight to sing the national anthem? Less than a minute 49 or a minute 50 or more?
Yeah.
A minute 50 or more.
Yes. You think so?
Mm-hmm. That's a lock.
Or the Pips singing also?
No, they're dancing.
No Pips.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, say, can you see? You know, mm-hmm. I don't think so. No. Though it is fun. I was a Pip. That's how you and I met.
Both Pips for 3 years.
And I forget that. You were Pip left, I was Pip right.
Yep. Happiest days of my life.
The jersey number, the first player to score a touchdown, 1 through 20 or 21 to 99?
So that bet is really, will it be a defensive touchdown
or an offensive
touchdown?
Or
the more traditional offensive
touchdown? Yeah, I suppose you could have a wide out in the 30s.
Yeah, I was going to say a
running back in the
30s. Gronkowski?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
What will the predominant color of Adam Levine's shirt be at the start of his halftime performance prior to his first wardrobe change? Mm. Your choices are black or other. It's other.
Other.
He's definitely going like, red. You know, I'm thinking a peach.
Doesn't peach. He go shirtless a lot, though?
Yeah, what are the odds on clear?
What's the odds on
clear? Atlanta is peach.
Yeah.
Peach. Yes. Atlanta peach. Right. You know how many peach trees there are in Atlanta? Not trees, streets. There's like 57 peach tree
there's no category for nude.
Oh, we can hope. And then one more. Will Tom Brady rush for more than half a yard?
Total.
Yes, he will.
He doesn't run, though.
He doesn't run, but he'll get, I mean, if he runs one quarterback sneak, he'll get a yard.
Yeah.
Tom does everything. He does everything. Tom.
And then some.
Are you picking the Patriots or the Rams?
I would pick the Patriots, yes.
Big?
I would. If I were gambling, which is sinful. You know, it's a sin to gamble.
You know, I
Steve.
Knew you when you were a gambler.
I used to gamble a lot.
Yeah, I knew you when you were a gambler.
Yeah. Not anymore.
One day he came in, he goes, hey, man, can you float me a nickel?
Yep.
Well, I know you'd put it
That's
towards
the nickel
retirement
I have
program.
Now. Thank you, Bill Geiger.
Coming over from Channel 9. I got to go to a meeting at Channel 9 today. You want, me to go through Anna's desk while you're on
see
the air
what
and
she's
call
got
you?
Her desk. Yeah, please do. Thank you, Steve. Have an enjoyable weekend.
All right. You don't want to plug your show at all?
Our show is coming up in just moments.
Excellent. I look forward to hearing it.